With Donald Trump floating the idea of delaying the presidential election, that made the late night show host react. Jimmy Fallon said, "It's the presidential election. It's not the release date for Bill and Ted 3. And he compared Trump to that friend who'd been crashing at your house for a while but keeps dropping hints that he might need some more time. Fallon said, "If he can't deny it, pretty soon he'll be like, Republicans should all vote on November 3rd, but we'll have Democrats vote at a later date to be determined." More from Fallon. Americans were like, "How long a delay are we talking about here? Months? Like your response to COVID? Ouch. Years? Like your response to Putin? Ouch. Or decades? Like a hug for Don Jr.? Just give us a hint." Fallon crushing it, man. Trevor Noah said, "I'm not even sure that Trump understands what an alarming proposal this is, because this is basically the move of a dictator. Trump just casually throwing it out there with a tweet with a bunch of question marks, like he's in a group text to bail on a happy hour. Hey, y'all, November 3rd's not great for me. Maybe we scheduled it for 2021. Trevor went in hard. He said, "People acted like I was crazy, but this is how it starts. First, they just suggest that maybe you postpone the election. Then they suggest that some of the votes are not valid. And pretty soon they're saying, you know, it's really unfair that there are two political parties. Why are there two political parties? Let's just have one. Then you don't really have to worry about making all these decisions anymore." He was not joking there. Then he reminded his viewers that moving the U.S. election is an absurd suggestion. For starters, both candidates are like 200 years old. I mean, we got to keep things moving. And Seth Meyers said, "And by the way, media, yes, there are some Republicans saying the election will happen on time. Stop giving them credit for that. That's not a courageous stand. That's the bare minimum. Just because the bar is all the way on the floor doesn't mean we have to give them credit for stepping over it. It's like if your burnout son gets an F on a history final and you say, 'Hey, look who showed up and took the test. I'm so proud of you, Scooch.'" We heard from the Emmys, this recap from The Hollywood Reporter. The 2020 Emmys are officially going to be a remote affair. Some of the producers, including host Jimmy Kimmel, sent out a letter to some of the nominees assuring them that they aren't expected to show up at the theater on September 20th. The letter says, "At a time like this, we're taking the opportunity to create a moment that is more relaxed, more entertaining, more enjoyable, not only for you, but for the millions watching at home. We're assembling a top-notch team of technicians, producers, and writers to work closely with Jimmy Kimmel and with you and your team to make sure that we can film you and loved ones or whomever else you choose to be with at your home or another location of your choice." The letter said, "So what are you wearing? Our informal theme for the night is come as you are, but make an effort. If you want to be in formal wear, we'd love that. But equally, if you're in the UK and it's 3 a.m., perhaps you want to be in designer pajamas and record from your bed. We want to work with you to style your moments, but we want you to guide us on your levels of comfort, where you want to be, who you want to be with, and what you want to wear, etc." They said they'll be in touch. More from Pollstar's interview with Bert Kreischer. They asked, "Hey, man." Well, I don't know if they said "hey, man," but that's how I'm going to phrase it. "Hey, man, how are you able to write and come up with a whole new show like that on the fly?" Bert said, "I knew I was going to be doing a big tour, so I wrote my ass off in November, December, January, February. I had a brand new hour in February. For whatever broken part of my personality is clear to everyone else, I'm a workaholic. I wanted to be back on the road and touring. My special dropped the day they did stay-at-home orders. It was the day I guess I'll sit at home. I called Bill Burr and Tom Segura. I said, 'Let's double down on the podcast. I need to get back on stage. I'm going to find a workaround. I'm really lucky, and it was just serendipity, and there were companies thinking the same way that I was. I had the new hour and had the means financially. I was lucky to be put in a situation where I could make it happen. I want to share it with more comics because it's so cool. You're never going to get to do this again. No one's ever going to experience the drive-in movie theaters after we get a vaccine. Everyone's going to go back to theaters." And the interviewer asked, "Why not more drive-ins?" And Bert said, "Regular touring is so much more cost-effective. You have no idea. But I'm going to reach out to all my friends and go, 'Come experience this with me and have fun. Experience what stand-up is like at this moment. It's never going to be like this again, hopefully. But it's so cool. People are so appreciative." From the laugh button, Chris Titus announced on Instagram that the cast of his comedy series Titus is coming back together next month for a streaming reunion for some reason. Titus didn't say that part. I'm adding that. Remember Titus, the sitcom that ran from 2000 to 2002? Holy cow, that's 20 years ago. Well, the reunion will include a roundtable, a Q&A with the cast, commentary on the last two episodes of the series, and the debut of the first episode of the Titus Family Show. The laugh button says, "We're not entirely sure what that latter thing is." Returning are Chris Titus, Stacey Keach, Cynthia Watros, Zach Ward, and David Shatraw. The series has generated a cult following over the years. It has. And lasted 54 episodes before being canceled due to clashes with the network. The reunion will be streamed on August 21st. Tickets can be purchased online. Mother Jones caught up with Sam B and they asked, "Hey, have you ever done stand-up?" She said, "No, I'm not a stand-up. I did theater. I did sketch comedy. My stagecraft experience is extensive. I just light up the stages, but not the stand-up stages. I don't do this. This is terrifying, although I'm getting a really warm reception here in this empty room. They were recording in a comedy club. I like it. I'm from Canada. I have a full awareness that I'm not a night owl. It's not the job for me. I get up really early and I go to bed really early. It's not a lifestyle that I could live. They asked, does it make it harder to do comedy when the stakes are high? And Sam said, no, it's never really a hard job to make comedy. It has its challenges, but it's still making a comedy show, which is awesome. I definitely lean more into my agita than the boys of late night comedy do, but I have more to be mad about. I think point of view is everything. It's very important to me. I don't want to do it any other way. I want to have fun. I want to do stupid stuff. But ultimately, I do have a lot to say in this climate, so I'm going to say it as long as I have a show and a breath in my body. They asked, is there too much material? And she said, in a previous world, we could have planned a show a little further along. But now, as you know, this is the experience of anybody who works in news in any capacity. The day looks so different at the end of it than it did at the beginning. We basically try to plan for a first act of the show on a Thursday or Friday, and then we throw it all out in the trash and figure it out on Tuesday, and then we figure it out again on Wednesday. I hear you, Sam, as I do this podcast. Yep, I'm forever moving stuff around. Totally hear you. That is your comedy news for today. Subscribe on Apple or Google. Follow on Spotify, and I'll see you tomorrow.